Hi, my name is Dr. Mark Alandari, and I'm an infectious diseases specialist in New Orleans.
Hi, my name is Hope Hickerson, and I'm a health education specialist and reporter. This is the Noise Filter Podcast, where an infectious diseases physician,
that's me, and a health education expert,
that's me, talk about what you need to know to keep yourself and your loved ones healthy.
For more information about Noise Filter, your public health podcast, and to watch and share our incredible informative animations, please visit us at noisefiltershow.com.
And if you like what you hear, don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to us. So, let's get started.
COVID public health advisories are outdated. As the pandemic has progressed, many of the United States public health advisories have remained the same, even as new research has disproven some of our early beliefs about COVID. The Atlantic published a recent article debunking some of the COVID numbers we still use.
First, two doses of a vaccine should no longer be referred to as fully vaccinated. Experts believe that booster shots are essential to protecting against variants that can slip past initial immunity, and some Americans have had as many as five vaccines. Health officials are also considering a new vaccine for the fall. More accurate terminology would be up-to-date vaccination, as it doesn't insinuate that there's a vaccine that will complete someone's immunization.
Second, our distancing advisory has remained stagnant since the beginning of the pandemic. In the pandemic's early days, Americans were told that they were likely to get COVID if they were 6 feet for 15 minutes. This was a useful metric when contact tracing was happening more often, but it's no longer useful or even accurate benchmark.
Right. Lots of research has found that COVID can travel much further than 6 feet, especially in poorly ventilated areas. And a virus isn't going to wait for a specific amount of time before infecting another person. Unfortunately, schools and offices continue to use this benchmark.
These outdated numbers demonstrate a real need for a more flexible pandemic strategy. Experts believe that part of the resistance to changing the advisories is because they assume that new scientific findings are definitive instead of constantly changing. No, the whole purpose of science is to change. Change, 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 change. That's what it's all about. As we learn new data, we change, right? It's incredibly important, right? Like, let's say you come to the hospital, right? And let's say I make a diagnosis, and let's say I give you a treatment, and let's say I learn new information about what's going on with your disease, and let's say I don't do anything about it, and I still give you the treatment for the first thing that I thought that you had, when I now see that you have something else. That's ridiculous, right? That's ridiculous. And so change is built into the DNA, pun intended, of science, period, end of discussion. And we have to be more nuanced. And so as an aside, off air, we were looking at a study just now, Hope, you and I, in how just mortality rates, and this is a study that was released just a couple of days ago, in conservative counties are higher, just general mortality, beyond COVID, just general mortality rates are higher in conservative counties than they are in blue counties, largely because conservative policies that don't allow for change to occur, that don't allow for nuance to occur, are quite literally killing Americans. And this is another example of that.
Well, and then it also goes, and this is like what I'm studying in school, like the effects of health communication and how people receive it, right? And so like the thing is, our society now is if someone says something, a doctor, CDC, whatever, if they say something, that's it. That's the gospel. That's it. That's what you said, and that's what I'm sticking to. And if they come back and adjust or amend or add to, then it's like, but wait, you just said, so now I don't trust you anymore.
Right. Like, you know, I've often said, and I wonder how things would have been different if, for example, like Dr. Fauci, let's say, every Monday morning said, okay, here's what we learned from last week.
Right.
Here's what we know. Right. And we expect these things to change over the course of the next week.
Right.
And if they just started like that, just to temper expectations, so people realize that we don't live in a constant, we live in a constantly changing, highly variable society, where we learn new things all the time. Did you see these new images coming from NASA?
Mm-mm.
With the new James Webb Space Telescope, these new images coming from NASA, we're learning more things about galaxies that are millions of light years away. We're seeing galaxies forming millions of years after the Big Bang, things that we've never learned before. Just an example of how in the world of science, we are constantly pushing ourselves to grow and learn more. And we're constantly updating our knowledge base. And so that's just built in, again, to the DNA of science.
Yeah. Yeah. Tampon shortage in the United States. For various reasons, we face shortages of lots of products over the past few years. Currently, there's a major shortage of tampons and women's hygiene products. Staff shortages and other factors have led to less production of the products, resulting in an overall product shortage. Oh.
Due to the shortage, people are traveling to multiple stores and paying for products at marked up prices. Companies have acknowledged the shortage and are committed to finding ways to ramp up production. And while companies are working around the clock 24/7 to meet demands, they still cannot produce enough products to eliminate the shortage.
Raw materials have become increasingly hard to come by. They are more scarce and more expensive. And unfortunately, these price increases are passed on to the consumer.
The problem here is obvious because these products are needed and the shortage is very hard to navigate. A recent article in the USA Today suggested a few alternatives such as menstrual cups and period underwear, which are both very reliable and may not be as hard to come by.
It's a tough problem to deal with because even if companies do work around the clock without an adequate amount of staff and supplies, their output would still be reduced. Hopefully, companies can find more ways to source their materials and can consistently provide retailers with enough inventory to meet the needs of the public. For now, exploring alternative products could be one way to cope with the shortages.
I have one thing to say here is that if men had periods, this probably would not be a thing.
Right. Right. This just makes me so frustrated as a woman. And I love they gave suggestions for alternatives. Well, that's great. But also some of those options aren't easy for some women to access, right? Like,
it's, of course. Yeah, no need to explain.
So frustrating.
Yes, totally understand. I've been hearing a lot about this. And some of my favorite journalists and podcast hosts who are women have been very clear about the frustrations they've been experiencing. There's one host who I listened to quite a bit, and she was explaining about what it was like for her to purchase some of these items. She was talking tampons, particularly online, and how the prices have gone up so significantly that it's getting to a point where the price points are beyond points where some people can afford.
Right.
So it's a crisis on multiple levels. And to a large degree, you know, this podcast has been committed to documenting period poverty around the world. And just, again, another failure in the American healthcare system that we're starting to see period poverty here in the US as well.
A lot of failures, right, Dr. Derry?
Yep.
Thanks for listening to Noise Filter, your public health podcast.
Be sure to subscribe to the Noise Filter podcast. Follow us on social media and leave us a review letting us know your favorite part of the show.
You can find me, Hope Hickerson, at hopehickerson.com.
And you can find me at Dr. Mark Allen Derry or at The Dr. Derry. That's D-R-D-E-R-Y.
To see and share our amazing animations and find out more information about us, the show, as well as links to our social media, go to noisefiltershow.com.
We are grateful to our sponsors, including Access Health Louisiana and the End the Epidemic Initiative, who are working to bring equitable health outcomes to everyone they serve. Hope, any last words?
Stay well out there, folks, and continue taking steps to keep yourself and your loved ones healthy. That includes exercise, a good diet, getting adequate sleep, and seeing your healthcare providers regularly.
And protect yourself and others by getting the COVID-19 vaccine and booster, wearing a mask, and social distancing wherever possible. Remember, health is a human right.